Alright.
Alright, cool. Welcome back to Live from the Stands. It has been a dreadful 2 weeks without any content being published on any podcast platform. And for that, we'll truly blame Lal Anthony Golden. Lal, what is your response?
I truly take all the blame. It was fully my fault. You know, we're being...
Yeah, he's the perfect person to blame.
Yeah, man, just blame me. Yeah, it's fine.
So, this week, we'll just be talking about, you know, the Champions League football. We'll be talking a little bit about NBA, and then we're going to branch off into a little game that we decided to play. We're not going to keep you too long, but we got some good content. So, Lal, Mr. Lal Anthony Golden,
yeah,
let's talk about Champions League.
Straight into it, man. And this week was very eventful in the Champions League, if I do say so myself. We had the quarterfinals, first legs. And on Tuesday, we had City v Dortmund and Real Madrid versus Liverpool. Now, Shaquille, I'd like you to tell me about what happened on Tuesday. How did things go?
I can take the blame for the loss of Liverpool because, well, me and Klopp have to share equal blame. Let me tell you, every time I wear our home jersey, we lose. Now, I'm not saying that I'm a superstitious guy because I'm not. But I know better. I know better. And I really wore the jersey because I thought we were back, you know. I thought we were back. But it was an absolutely dismal game from Trent. And it was... Keita wasn't ready. I thought Klopp would just keep the same side from the weekend because we, you know, they're finding form. So allow them to work, you know, start Firmino. And then allow Jota Demon to come on and score a goal. You know what I mean? That's what he does. You know, surprise them with some tactics. But I think Real Madrid really played a really good game because, you know, they were out without their two starting center backs and they found, you know, Nacho and excuse me, his name is slipping me. But sorry, Militao.
Yeah. And,
you know, they really like they played 11, like they were at one point there was 11 of them behind the ball and they just played compact. They had cruise control and they had Modric, you know, just controlling the strings of the game. And Vinicius turned into prime Ronaldo, like prime Ronaldo.
I was shook, bro. Like, that's real.
I'm telling you, that is something that's surprising. Like, we could have never anticipated that because Vinicius. We're talking about Vinicius. He cannot finish anything. I mean, if I put a puzzle on a table and it had one piece and I put the piece right there, Vinicius could not finish it. He would do something to not finish it. And second leg is going to be something special, you know. We're at Anfield. We're going back to Anfield, a proper stadium.
Predictions.
I hope Klopp plays 4-2-3-1. Firmino at camp. Jota Demon in the head, Salah on the right, Mane on the left.
Okay, so let's say he does play the 4-2-3-1. Are Liverpool going through? I want a yes or a no answer from you right
now. Of course we are.
Okay, all right.
But of course. All right.
Quote it, write it down, folks.
Of course we are.
Liverpool are going through. And I don't even really kind of want to talk about the second game on Tuesday because these niggas are just cheating, bro. They're just cheating, man. I don't know what to say. City are just cheating right now, you see me? The refs, they have the refs so deep in their pockets, it's insane. But yeah,
City has to be put under some kind of scope because let's talk about the Jude Bellingham incident.
Bro.
You touch the ball first, you reach the ball first, then you get kicked by Ederson. You know, he gets kicked. He's the one who gets kicked. Ederson flops. Bellingham scores. And then Bellingham receives a punishment for that. You not only do you call back the goal. All right, say you call back the goal. Fine. But you're going to give this guy a yellow card. That's not right.
And then on top of that, it was so clear on the replay what happened. And yet VAR just...
Yeah, why does it exist? Why does it exist?
It's beyond me at this point, bro. I swear to you.
I just find it, you know, something just has to be done. And that's what I say. But Bellingham is a real talent. You know, he's born to, like, sometimes you're watching these players and, like, you don't, you know, you hear their ages before and, like, you don't even really think about it now. Bellingham was born 2003. Bellingham is born 2003. Like,
that man is 4 years younger than, that is insane, dog.
Like, nah. Bellingham is just 17. Is he 18 yet? 17. He's 17, 18, turning 18 this year. Now, when I was 17, my main objective on Wednesdays was to finish class and go and get some Wendy's and come back to training. That was my main objective, you know, and get home to go play some games on my PS4.
When I was 17, my main objective was walking over Alvey Hill and looking for some woman, brother. I swear to you.
You see, the priorities are different. The priorities are so much different.
The levels are staggering.
They are staggering, trust me. But let's get to the Wednesday games. It was Bayern Munich versus PSG and, you know, Chelsea versus Porto. Let's talk about the Chelsea versus Porto first. Mason Mount has arrived. He's arrived all season, but
yeah,
he's the next Chelsea legend. From what's Chelsea's training ground? The Cobham? La Cobham? Yeah, he's the next serious thing. He's the future captain. He's a regen of a very different form of midfielder, but a serious talent. And
completely agreed. Completely
I can
agreed.
Only respect Mason Mount now. There will be no more Mason Mount slander from me. I don't think I ever slandered him, to be honest. Apart from, like, I picked a different Mason, which is Greenwood. But,
like, and you weren't wrong. But we'll move on still.
But yeah, Chelsea are going through, no doubts about it. Like, if they lose, we're gonna blame Timo Werner. All right.
Yep. Period. And then
the big game,
the finals rematch, bro. This game lived up to all expectations, bro. And I think this was the game where it finally hit me that Kylian Mbappe really is a top three player in the world. It's just that simple. It really is just that simple. Yeah, and exactly. I know that his teammate Neymar will probably have something to say about it, but this kid, bro, the man is just ridiculous, dog. The man is just crazy.
But Neymar is not ready to relinquish that yet, because Neymar was pulling some strings in that game.
Crazy as well, honestly.
That pass to Marquinhos, that pass.
Phil.
Cruz pass was nice the day before, but Neymar saw that and was like, this is personal. This is personal.
I generally feel like Mbappe this season took that next step, and that's my main reason for thinking that PSG really have arrived to take the Champions League this season. Because when you have two players on that level, bro, it's very hard to stop that team. And they also, when you look back, they also have a good defense and a solid midfield. Bro, PSG are definitely the favorites right now, honestly.
I'm hearing Bayern fans calling, pleading that if Lewandowski was there, but Kimpembe would have put him in some handcuffs and locked him up. Like, Kimpembe is a serious defensive.
He's very underrated.
Right now. He's a very serious talent. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Sané disappeared, but we won't talk about that, because that they're playing Sané on the right, and I'm telling you, Sané, they want Sané to cut in. But you see, when playing inverted wingers, they have a slight right foot. Like with Robin had something to, like, go there to trick defenders, and then he would cut into his left foot every time, you know, but you couldn't, like, disregard his right foot. But with Sané
plays on one foot.
I would legit just disregard his right foot. Like, I don't care about, and you put it on your right foot, and I'll just be standing at you and just looking at you like, Sané, what are you doing? Go to your left foot. And Sané just hasn't arrived, and we're waiting to see what he could do for the second leg. And maybe Lewandowski comes back. I want Lewandowski to come back for the second leg so that we can get a proper match. Gnabry will be back, I think, because, you know, his COVID, dependent on his COVID thing, but it would be a good game. I want a proper game. I want a proper, proper game. I need this. I need it from a bloodstream. I need it.
It's going to be a classic, bro. It's going to be a classic. Trust.
And I think that's it for Champions League. I guess Europa League is...
Nah, Arsenal. we can brush over that.
No, let's... I just want to say Arsenal is Arsenal. If you are an Arsenal fan, I'm truly sorry. Get some help.
If you're an Arsenal fan, please love yourself. Just take care of yourself, lad.
Stop it. Get some help.
Please. You shouldn't be doing this to yourself.
Don't do it yourself. It's going to be a... Europa League's Europa League. I don't really... Like, it doesn't really... Nobody cares. Anyway, yeah. Moving on. To a little bit of the NBA action. You know, Kevin Durant is back. James Harden is out. It seems like something with the Brooklyn Nets where they lose their superstars. There's not every superstar on that team plays every night.
And let me tell you what's going on right now. Okay, the Nets have reached the level where I'm almost positive these niggas are faking injuries, bro. They're just taking their turn so they can ball hug, bro. Right now, it's Kyrie and Kevin. Right, well, before KD came back, it was Kyrie. Before that, it was Harden. They're just taking turns, bro. Somebody's gonna sit out. Somebody is gonna come in, be the star, and score. And just, bro, it's just unfair, bro. You can't have three players that good. It's I genuinely, I can't wrap my head around it, brother. The man them just tafe.
Brooklyn is something serious. I feel like if they have their and they're scoring, if they don't play all of their players throughout the quarters, like throughout they're actively resting, like they're resting during games. Like you won't see Blake Griffin playing extended minutes, LaMarcus Aldridge playing extended minutes, Kevin Durant playing extended minutes. Kevin Durant went perfect from the field, perfect on his return. He went perfect, like he didn't miss. Like he just doesn't miss.
He play like 17, 18 minutes or something like that.
He didn't miss though. He scored 17 points and he didn't miss. It's legit hard to do.
The man is a cheat code.
It's hard to do. And I'm just telling you, like, I don't know what's going to happen
honestly
in the NBA, but I'm scared of Brooklyn and I need this team to just hurry up and win and disband so that the NBA can be back.
Can go back to normal.
So it can just go back to normal.
Because if everybody is healthy, like if everybody is 100%, the Nets should win the title. Like pretty easily. The Lakers will put up a fight because any team with LeBron is going to, but the Nets should win pretty easily.
And that is all we had to see on the NBA. We just had to talk about Brooklyn. That's legit.
That's really it.
That's all we had to see on
the NBA. Had to vent a little bit.
But before we leave, we promised you one game. And I hopefully, you know, you guys just join in and think who is the best player based on what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the GOAT by number. So we're going to have the number. We're going to list some players who we, you know, it was suggested to us as probably the best players to ever wear that number through three sports, which is the NFL, the NBA, and, you know, football overall. So basketball, American football, and football as we know it. And we, which is Lala and myself, are going to pick our GOAT. The best player to wear that number. And, you know, it might be different. You might have a different opinion and we want to hear it.
So, oh, we definitely do.
You know, you use our social media platforms like I mentioned. I think we're gonna post it on our social media platforms, the question. And you submit your answers and we'll just see it and we'll talk about it in the next episode. So, we'll start with number 5. So, the number 5, we have Busquets, Kevin Garnett, Jason Kidd, Rio Ferdinand, Puyol, and Zinedine Zidane. La.
Okay, so this one was a tough one. However, I am going to go with Sergio Busquets. Reason being, I feel like for me, I was going back and forth between KG and Busquets. But when you have a player that has as much longevity and success as Busquets, and at his peak, he was easily the best CDM in football, and it was for a long time. So I'm going with Busquets.
And for me, I'm going to go with, I was leaning towards Busquets, you know, but and Puyol was a good shot, but when I think top 5 center backs, I don't really think Puyol. But I'm going to go with Kevin Garnett. Why? MVP, defensive player of the year, really good player. I just love this energy and that type of thing. So I'm gonna go Kevin Garnett. and I'm a basketballer. I'm gonna pick Kevin Garnett over it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Number 10, we have Messi, Maradona, Eli Manning, Pele, and Steve Nash. I'll go first. I'm not the biggest Messi fan. I prefer Brazil over Argentina. That being said, the greatest player to wear number 10 is Lionel Messi. I don't like the little man, but I can't go against him. He is the best player to wear number 10 ever.
Yeah, let's not waste any more time. It's Messi. It's always going to be Messi. He's inarguably one of the greatest sports people we've ever seen on the planet. It's Messi.
Now let's go to number 7. We have Cristiano Ronaldo dos Santos Aveiro, John Elway, David Beckham, Eric Cantona, Kevin Durant, and Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay, so honestly, this number is probably like the most, has the most like real legends of sports on it, because all the names that you named are players that have been champions, have been some of the best players in their sport, all of that. But none of that matters. It's Ronaldo. Absolutely none of it matters. Ronaldo is the greatest player that we've ever seen in football. He's the GOAT. And yeah, it's him. Easily. And I think I know what you're going to pick. I have an inkling feeling.
Now, John Elway, excellent NFL player. Not it. Beckham and Cantona know within themselves that when Manchester United players think 7, it is Cristiano Ronaldo. Ben Roethlisberger, no. Kevin Durant, I know Kevin Durant as number 35. And he will always forever be number 35 for me. So, the greatest player to ever play football, hard work beats talent. Cristiano Ronaldo is the best player to ever wear 7. We move. Number 25. Vince Carter, Gianfranco Zola, Richard Sherman, Sammy Sosa, and Derrick Rose. I'll go first. It's Vince Carter. Slam dunk champion. New Jersey Nets finalist. Really good player. Gianfranco Zola is probably like the next best choice. But like I said, I'm a basketballer. I don't really have to explain it to you. But we're going to Vince Carter. Vince Carter really had an impact on the game. Like, he's the best dunker to ever play. But people would say like number 15 is his main number. But I'm looking at 25 and I can still say Vince Carter is the best player to ever wear 25.
I mean, there's not a lot I can argue with when somebody picks Vince Carter for anything, because he's a bona fide legend. That man was insane at his prime, bro, and he had a very long career. But I'm going to go Zola, because honestly, Zola was one of the first players that when I sat down and I got into football, he was one of the first players that I sat and I watched his highlights and I watched back some of those matches. And Zola is just a magician, brother. That man was, he's so underrated because he was just so good, man. Silky smooth. Goals, assists, everything. But yeah, I just prefer Zola, so I'm probably going to go Zola for this one.
Fair enough. We get to the real GOATs number. Number 23. We have LeBron James. We have Michael Jordan. We have David Beckham. We have Jamie Carragher. And Vidal. Yeah, we have Vidal. So, Lyle, who is the best player to wear number 23?
Okay. So, first of all, shout out Beckham for being the only player on the list to be mentioned under two numbers, which is, it's a pretty good accomplishment. But to be very, very honest, my GOAT of basketball, it's LeBron James, bro. Honestly, Michael Jordan, people are going to say, you know, 6 championships, no finals buses. Yeah. We've heard it all before. LeBron is a better passer. LeBron is more physical. LeBron is he's not a better defender, but they're both elite defenders. I feel like LeBron James is just an overall better player. Now, Michael Jordan has more chips, but I'm making the statement now, when LeBron retires, he will have 6 chips as well. So, to me, it's been LeBron as the GOAT for a while now. So, for me, the GOAT of number 23 is LeBron James.
LeBron James is my GOAT. LeBron James is my GOAT. But that being said, number 23 rightfully belongs to Michael Jordan. Let me tell you why. I will argue with my family all night about how Jordan isn't the greatest player ever. But the reason why so many players wear number 23 is because they want to be like Mike. James himself wanted to be like Mike. And when I think number 23 and you see 23 red and black, you're going to think Michael Jordan more than LeBron James. And that's just how it is.
That's facts.
That's just how it is. So the number 23 belongs to Michael Jordan. That's it. He slam dunk champion. We can talk about all his accomplishments, but when you think of the number, the iconic, like when Big Sean said, I returned, like when 2-3 did with 4-5. When Michael Jordan came back and was wearing number 45, nobody liked that. The NBA legit said, no, we have to get this man back his number. Everybody was like, we have to get him back his number. Like, it's just not right. So 23 really belongs to him. And when he retired, other teams retired this man's number just to show you, like, yo, 23 is really his. 23 is really his. It belongs to him. I can't take it away from him. We go to our final number, number 14. Let's get the names. We have Johan Cruyff, Jordan Henderson, Bob Cousy, Thierry Henry, and Xabi Alonso.
Bro, there's no way you snuck Jordan Henderson into this, bro.
My captain, no. The passionate merchant. He's really passionate. He's really, as a number 14, he's really passionate.
Yo, you're shameless, and I really admire it.
You have to respect
for this.
It.
I do respect it. So for number 14, to me, it's between Johan Cruyff and Thierry Henry. Now, this is going to be probably a bit more recent bias for me because I didn't watch much Johan Cruyff. He was a very great player though. He's one of the greatest players ever. However, Thierry Henry was just on a different level, brother. That man, when he played for Arsenal, he was the source of so many tears, bro, because you just could not stop Thierry Henry. Nothing you could do could stop that man. He was fast, he had skills, he was probably the best finisher in the league at the time. Physical, jumping, heading, bro, everything. It's Henry for me, bro. It has to be.
The Cruyff turn, the Cruyff philosophy, Cruyff was everything to Cruyff. Cruyff probably has the biggest impact on football. That being said, I don't know if it's because of, you know, we never watched Cruyff. Like I said, I can't really say, yo, Bill Russell is the GOAT because, you know, I've never seen Bill Russell and he has 11 rings and that type of thing. And Cruyff's impact. We don't see Cruyff. We've never seen Cruyff play, but we've seen Cruyff's influence, if you get what I'm saying. But Thierry Henry, man, when we're saying 14, everybody's like, yo, Henry, I'm a baller, man. If you're going to say, like, you really support Henry, if you get what I'm saying. So I would say number 14, to me, it's Thierry Henry. Like, we just have to give it up to him and give him his flaws. But Cruyff is a really good player. I would say Cruyff is not really known by numbers, but by tactics and, you know, his style of football play. And that's...
And also, another honorable mention for the number 14 is, of course, Lyle, who wore number 14 prep school. Of course, you know the vibes. The GOAT of 14, you know it,
you're right. Lyle, nobody was stepping
unplayable.
Like Prime Lyle, nobody was stepping to Prime Lyle. Nobody, like, think of anybody, nobody was as good as Prime Lyle. But it's only because we were doing international professional footballers where we never threw Lyle in there, it would be no competition,
it would be a landslide, honestly.
Well, that has been Live from the Stands for this week. We just kept it short and spicy. You know, nothing too long. We don't want to talk in your ears too much and any ears. We are both ears, but nothing too long, nothing too, you know, but it was nice and fun just talking with you, just being here again. I hopefully we'll be more consistent.
Yui, I'm going to make any promises this time.
Yui is killing us. Please just bear with us. But we're getting to the end of it, folks. We really are. Fox. We're getting to the end of it. Thank you for listening.
Once this semester does end, summer, we are going crazy with the content.
We are going crazy with the content. Follow us. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook at Stadium 876.
Yes, sir.
That's Stadium 876. It's as simple as that. Send in your content. Send anything that comes to your mind? Like, legit, just tell us about your day if you want to. I don't, it doesn't even matter to us. There will be somebody there to respond to you and give you an adequate answer based on what you send. Just send anything you want. Thank you for listening so much. And how did we say we were going to end the show again?
Bro, I was just about to ask if you remember the outro, you know, because like, I do not.
Like,
where we are, welcome to Live from the Stands, where we are not bleachers, but gangster. That's all.
I think it was that. Welcome to Live from the Stands. Don't be a bleacher, sit in grandstand. Right? Something like that. Yeah, we work with that. That's what we remember. Thanks, and see you next week. Wink, wink.